Welcome back.
Welcome.
It's Halloween.
Yeah, for us. Probably not for you, though.
No, definitely not for you. It's about 4 days after. But yes. It's Halloween right now.
Yes. Hopefully everybody's being safe and doing fun things.
Yes.
Yeah. Or don't be safe. I don't know. Whatever you want to do with your life, I guess.
You do you.
Yeah.
You do you.
Just don't get murdered.
We, yep. We.
Sorry.
Why?
Why what?
Why?
Nothing. Go back to what you were saying.
Okay. I mean, I don't have anything.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add.
You want to just get in?
Yeah, let's get in.
Let's just get in to the podcast.
To the podcast. Mine comes with a major trigger warning.
Okay.
It's a true crime week, so it has to do with like abduction and child stuff. It's pretty fucked up. So that's fun. Let's just go ahead and get in.
Yeah, let's get in.
Let's get in. So I'm talking about the story of Elizabeth Fritzl. She's one of six children. She had four sisters and two brothers, and her parents were Rosemary and Joseph. They probably said Yosef.
Oh, is this not a U.S. story?
It's never is. With me, it's Shocker. never America. So when she was 15, Elizabeth completed her standard education in Austria and prepared to become a waitress. But when in 1983, she ran away from home and she ended up staying at the friend's house, saying that she needed to get away from her father. 3 weeks later, police got her and brought her back home. And then August 28th in 1984, she's 18, but she goes missing. So it's like she ran away when she was 17. She just turned 18, so then she just goes missing. Rosemary, the mom, files a missing persons report, but nothing comes of it. They can't find her. There's no clues. There's nothing. And so the parents start to accept and assume that the worst happened to her, and that's when they get a letter from Elizabeth. This letter claims that she had grown tired of her family and just ran away, which, when given to officers, they're like, well, that matches because she has ran away in the past. And she's an adult now, and she can do whatever she wants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So her family ends up, like, having this weird idea that she joined, like, a religious cult. Because apparently that was something she had previously done and is, like, touring the world. I don't know. Not done. I mean, talked about doing. Sorry. And she's, like, going all around the world. But the truth is that Joseph knew exactly where she was. She was about 20 feet below the house.
Wow, that is a deep grave.
It's not a grave.
Oh, okay.
She's alive.
Oh.
Police officers are searching the house for evidence. They don't see anything that she's there the whole time. So on August 28th, the day that she goes missing, Joseph called her into the basement to help her fit a door that he needed help carrying and fitting into the door frame. And this cellar area is newly renovated. This has been Joseph's like pride and joy for the past several years. So as Elizabeth held the door, Joseph obviously fixed it into place. And as soon as it was on the hinges, he swung it open, pushed her inside, and closed the door after he knocked her out with an ether-soaked towel so she couldn't fight back.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Unbeknownst to anybody else in the family, he had spent several years, like I said, building a small section of the basement into a living quarters for Elizabeth. He got a permit for the space, which Austrian officials had inspected and approved, and he excavated it, and there's like narrow hallways that connected the several rooms in the basement, and it had a bathroom, it had like a refrigerator, a hot plate, and a bed. Like, it was a small space apartment, but it had everything that it needed.
Yeah.
The basement was not temperature controlled, and there were only two ways to access that specific area. Which were both hidden within Joseph's workshop that he had downstairs. And it was secured with a series of 5 locked doors. So very...
It's a red flag.
Very in-depth. So, yeah. Although the door to the rest of the basement was visible from the part where Elizabeth was, she didn't try to escape. He basically told her that it was booby-trapped and gas would pour onto the room and or into the room and suffocate her if she tried to leave. He also claimed that the door was wired with high-voltage electricity. So, I don't know if that was true or not. I don't think so. I think it was just locked. So, for the next 24 years. That's insane. The longer than she's been alive, she has been held captive in this bunker.
So fucked up.
Uh-huh. And that's the only thing that she would see. Her father would lie to her mother and the police, if telling them stories about how she, like, again, ran away to join the cult. Eventually, police, like, the investigation ran cold. Just like a lot of many missing persons, she was quickly forgotten and expected to just be in this weird religious cult. And as far as the Fritzl family was concerned, Joseph would head down into the basement every morning at 9 a.m. to draw plans for machines that he sold in his workshop. Not that he was going to spend time with their family member. And occasionally he would stay the night in the basement. And Rosemarie, the wife, the mom...
It's about to get a lot worse, I think.
Yeah, it is going to get a lot worse. The wife and the mom, she didn't give a shit. She was just like, oh, he's a hardworking man. He's really dedicated to his career. Like, he just fell asleep down there. However, Elizabeth thought the exact opposite of him. She thought he was a piece of shit.
Obviously.
At minimum, he would visit her in the basement 3 times a week, but typically it was every day. Elizabeth spent the first few months bound to the walls.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Joseph first chained her arms to the metal bedpost in one of the rooms in the basement. He then moved the chains around to her waist, kind of like a leash. This allowed for her to use the bathroom, but like not be able to escape. After a time, she believed it was either 6 or 9 months. He removed all of the constraints because they were like in the way. And he reportedly raped her daily.
Wow.
Yeah. Though it's noted that it's unknown if Joseph also abused the other children sexually. So, just keep that in mind. Most interesting is that Joseph didn't have a squeaking clean background like you would think. In 1967, he broke into the Lintz home of a 24-year-old nurse while her husband was away and raped her while holding a knife to her throat. And then he threatened to kill her if she would scream. According to an annual report for 1967 and a press release of the same year, he was also named a suspect in the case of an attempted rape of a 21-year-old woman who was, and he was also known for indecent exposure.
Wow, so, this guy sucks.
Yeah, not the pinnacle of the, like, community.
They always say that they are, though, huh?
Yeah, usually they are. He was arrested and served 12 months of an 18-month prison sentence. I don't know what that was for exactly, if it was for the crimes that I had just mentioned or for something else. So let's go back to Elizabeth. While she was 2 years into her being held hostage in this bunker, so that would be 1986, she became pregnant. She miscarried 10 weeks into the pregnancy, so she had to deal with that by herself. 2 weeks later, however, she was pregnant again, and this time she carried to full term. She didn't receive any prenatal care while kept down in the basement. Instead of providing her with proper medical supplies for birth or helping her at all, he gave her a book on childbirth that was written in the 1960s. So it's about 20 years out of date. And a bottle of disinfectant and some towels, because that's all that you need, apparently, to have a baby. I mean, she made it work. Joseph wasn't present for the birth because he found the process distasteful.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, that's bud. The one that got her pregnant. So.
Yep.
So 1988, August of that year, Elizabeth gave birth to a baby girl named Kirsten. And 2 years later, she had another baby and she named him Stefan. Kirsten and Stefan remained in the cellar with... I totally forgot her name for a second. With Elizabeth. And that they stayed there with her during the rest of her imprisonment. And they brought, they got food and everything by Joseph. So just he visits and brings them whatever they need. Wow. Within reason, I guess. Elizabeth attempted to teach them as much as she could with what she knew, like of an education, words, basic math, I'm sure. And she, tried to give them as much of a normal life.
Right.
as she could.
Like, what does that even mean, though?
Yeah, you know? I don't even know. It's I can't even imagine. So, like I said, over the next 24 years, Elizabeth gave birth to 5 more children.
Wow.
Yes. One was named Felix. He also was allowed to remain in the basement with her, and the other 2 children, Kirsten and Stefan. 1996, she gave birth to her 5th and 6th children. They were twins, Michael and Alexander. Michael, unfortunately, died 3 days after he was born. He had trouble breathing and required medical attention, in which Joseph refused to let them have. Right. So he apparently removed Michael's body from the basement and burned the body. I don't know where or when or whatever, but that's reported as to what he did. Then the 3 other others, the surviving twin, Alexander, and then there were 2 girls, Lisa, Monica, that were also born. And somehow they managed to live with Rosemary and Joseph upstairs. Do you want to know how weird it is for Joseph to show up with these random babies? So he...
Yeah. were no questions asked?
Basically, if they were, he had a great story.
Like what? Like, I found him in the basement. I'm always in there, so...
Basically, he staged the discoveries of the children and often placed them in bushes near the home or on the doorstep. And basically, the child would be swaddled with a note, like your little, like typically whatever you see in a fucking movie. And the note was allegedly written by Elizabeth saying that she couldn't take care of her baby and was leaving it for her parents for safekeeping. Apparently, he did this because they were, quote, crybabies. And he didn't want them drawing unwanted attention. So he basically was just pulling them out of the basement to CYA so that no one would find out about him.
Wow.
Shockingly, social services never questioned this at all. And they allowed the Fritzels to keep the children as their own. Officials were, after all, under the impression that everything is true. That Joseph and Rosemary are the parents' grandparents of the children, and they just think that basically Elizabeth's a piece of shit that's having these babies and just ditching them.
Wow.
Yeah. So how did he get to foster these children if he had a violent criminal record?
Outstanding question.
So glad you asked. In accordance with Austrian law, his criminal record was expunged after 15 years. As a result, more than 25 years later, when he applied to adopt and foster the children, social services didn't discover his criminal history. So that's a big bummer. Joseph would sometimes punish Elizabeth by taking away food rations, cutting off power, like the lights in the basement, anytime he was mad at her. He used this as a way to punish her, and he would also force her and the children to basically starve or freeze to death because there was no temperature control, nothing. Reportedly, he showed the captive children pictures of the other kids that were upstairs, living a normal life, playing outside in the sun, and he basically did that to torture them, I imagine, psychologically. I'm sure you can guess Elizabeth and her children for the whole time they were down there, especially her children. They had been born down there. They had never seen the sun. So imagine seeing a picture of that and being like, is that real? Like, you're fucking with me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine seeing a sun and never seeing it before and being like, oh, does that exist? Yeah. So not sure how Joseph got away for everything for so long, because it sounds like neighbors often remarked that he kind of was an asshole. He allegedly physically abused his wife and the other children, though remember what I said about the sexual aspect? No one's either fessing up to that or he just chose Elizabeth. It's not known how long Joseph intended to keep her captive in the basement, and he had gotten away for 24 years, he probably would have continued forever. However, in 2008, that's right, I said 2008, one of the children in the cellar got sick, and Elizabeth begged and begged and begged and begged for him to take her to the hospital to get medical attention. At this point, it's Kirsten, the oldest, I believe. She's 19 years old. She had fallen very, very ill, and Elizabeth is obviously very fucked up over it. So Joseph agrees to take her and only her to the hospital. He removed Kirsten from the cellar, called an ambulance, claiming that he had a note from Kirsten's mother explaining her condition. For a week, police questioned Kirsten at the hospital and asked the public for any information on her family, because they're basically treating her as a Jane Doe at this point.
Right.
Naturally, no one came forward as there was no family besides Joseph and Elizabeth, and the police eventually grew suspicious of Joseph and reopened the investigation into Elizabeth's disappearance. They began reading the letters that Elizabeth had supposedly left for, like when she left and then with the babies, and then they started seeing inconsistencies in the notes. So perhaps Joseph finally felt pressure or had a change of heart, but on April 26, 2008, he released Elizabeth from the cellar for the first time in 24 years. She's now 42 years old at that time. She immediately went to the hospital to see Kirsten, where hospital staff alerted police to her very, very odd arrival and her very odd, like, looking body. I'm sure she's extremely malnourished.
Everything about that is weird.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. That night, she was actually arrested and questioned about her daughter's illness and her father's story about what happened. And after making the police promise she would never see her father again, Elizabeth told the whole fucking story. She explained that she was kept in the basement. She had gave birth and bore 7 children. She didn't give birth to all of them, but she explained that Joseph was the father of all 7 of them, and he would come down during the night and make her watch porn and then rape her. He explained that he had been abusing her ever since she was 11. Unsurprisingly, officers went to talk to Joseph, and he claimed that he trapped her for her protection at the tender age of 18 because she was addicted to drugs and alcohol and hanging out with the wrong crowd. So he wanted to keep her in the basement to keep her away from all of that.
Fucking psychopath.
Yes. Police decided that's weird, so they arrested him.
That's weird.
I mean, I'm sure they decided more than that's like, weird. Yeah.
I'm going to arrest you, maybe.
Yeah. After the arrest, the remaining children that were in the cellar were released, and Rosemarie, the mom, disappeared. No idea where she went. Well, I guess mom/grandma. She maintains somehow that she knew nothing about the events that took place right under her feet. And Joseph backed up her story. He basically was like, I never told her. She never knew a single thing. They had tenants that lived in the apartment at the first floor of the Fritzl home. Also had no idea what was going on underneath them. And Joseph had explained away, like, noises that they heard. Imagine, like, the Dahmer thing.
Yeah, like, what kind of insulation did he put in there to make it,
I have no idea. And he just blamed it on, like, piping.
It's like, the pipes scream sometimes.
Or, yeah, heater.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. So, Elizabeth changed her identity completely and is living in a secret Austrian village known as Village X. It's probably... can't Google it. I'm sure it's like a safe house of sorts. The home is under constant surveillance, and the police apparently in Austria patrol every corner of this area. And the family doesn't allow interviews. Basically, they decline everything. Interview-wise, they just don't want to speak on it.
It's fair.
And so Elizabeth is now in her mid-50s, and the last photo taken of her that the public is aware of is when she was 16 years old. Yeah. So numerous articles state that all the children that Elizabeth birthed are undergoing extensive therapy, obviously. And in 2009, Austrian courts found Joseph guilty on multiple charges, including murder, which was apparently the murder. I don't know how they coined this onto him. Maybe because he refused to give medical treatment to the twin that passed away three days after. So they charged him of murder for Michael. He was convicted. Rape, enslavement, and incest.
Enslavement.
Yes. He received life in a psychiatric prison, which he will be eligible for parole in 2 years. 2024.
He better not.
I know, right? Wow. Though, as of According to the DW.com article that was posted July of this year, 2022, they state that Joseph was eligible to transfer to a normal prison, but the higher regional court in Vienna declined and ordered for him to remain in the psychiatric prison. So with that step that's been given, I don't find that they would easily let him just go free.
No.
If Joseph had been transferred to a normal prison, he would have been able to apply for a conditional release after just 15 years, which at the age of 87 might not have mattered all that much, but still, I want that guy to rot for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So by 2013, authorities sealed the cellar space where Elizabeth had been living, although the rest of the building still stands. So, to any of you that might have been listening, this might have sounded a little familiar. It is the inspiration for the book. Why is it not in my notes? Am I a fucking idiot? Did I not put it in here? Wow, that's great. Oh no, it's in the very bottom. It's the act of the crimes that he did were inspiration for the novel Room by Emma Donahue.
Donahue.
And she basically, it's very similar. It's not the same, but it's extremely similar. It's one of my favorite books that I've ever read, and it's super fucked up. It will make you cry. And that book unsurprisingly inspired a film adaptation of the same name, which stars Brie Larson. And she does a fantastic job of capturing those emotions, even though it's not quite like the book, but it's still very, very good, like, kind of peep into what that could have been like.
Yeah.
There's also a 2008 documentary called The Longest Night, Secrets of an Austrian Cellar. There's also another 2009 book called The Crimes of Joseph Fritzl, Uncovering the Truth by Stephanie Marsh and Bojan Panchovsky. I murdered that. I'm so awesome sorry.
Awesome name, though.
Yes. Then 2010, there's a documentary release called Monster, the Joseph Fritzl story. And in 2021, Lifetime released a film inspired by the Fritzl case titled Girl in the Basement, which was part of Lifetime's Ripped from the Headlines feature films. This film is directed by Elizabeth Rome, and it stars Stephanie Scott, Judd Nelson, and Jolie Fisher.
Have you seen any of this?
No, the only thing I've seen is the Room movie, and I've read the Room book.
Right.
It's super fucking heartbreaking, man, to like see that shit. And especially the book, it does such a good job of like reminding you, like, you're just like, it's like right now where we are right now.
Yeah.
This is where she lived for 24 years.
I can't. How do you even like have a normal life after that too?
Yeah.
Like, and ruined. Like, her life is ruined. All of their lives.
All of their. Yeah. It was like as children, like growing up. Can you imagine having like 5 kids in this space with you?
No.
Having to like teach them and take care of them and like entertain them and like find ways to like,
no,
here's a pillow, like let's have fun with this pillow, because he didn't give them toys.
So fucked
like
up.
I mad props to her for being able to survive that, because I probably would have killed myself.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm like, this is not worth it.
No,
but yeah, super crazy story. That's all I got. Oh, my sources? I only have 4 sources. All that's interesting, obviously, it's a good website to go to.
One of my sources, too.
DW.com, which I mentioned, Ranker.com, and I did a little bit of some Wikipedia.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you. I think I'd use Wiki for my media sources, because it has so much shit.
Right. Damn.
Damn, it sucks, right?
Yeah, that sucks a lot.
Yep.
Well,
anyways,
I don't know if my story is gonna bring the mood up or down.
Oh,
we'll find out though. Mine is not technically true crime, although I predict it will be.
Oh, okay. What?
In the next few years. So, have you ever heard of McCamey Manor?
I feel like we've talked about it. Is it the haunted house place?
It is like a haunted attraction. Yes.
I mean, if we have, it's not ringing a bell.
Right. Okay. So McCamey Manor is known as probably the most extreme quote unquote haunt attraction in the U.S. And it is the creation of a guy named Russ McCamey. And according to The Guardian, he majored in theater studies before he joined the Navy, spent 23 years in the Navy. While he was serving, he would like entertain his colleagues on the ships by organizing haunts there. So he kind of started, you know, early, I guess. Yeah. According to the New York Post, he also claims that he works currently as a DJ and a wedding singer.
Apparently. So he's like,
at least within the last 10 years.
He's like digressing because that's where Zach Bagans started.
He's doing opposite.
Yeah.
According to him, he doesn't use alcohol. He doesn't smoke, doesn't use any kind of drugs. Describes himself as
I already feel like that's a false
quote. Oh, it has to be. As a quote, straight laced conservative guy who doesn't curse.
Oh, no.
He also doesn't allow cursing during his haunted house experience. And guests who do curse might get some penalties on the along the way.
Penalties? What kind of penalties? Like, do they zap you with a taser?
So, one...
He would murder me.
One of the incentives for going to this very extreme attraction is a supposed $20,000 cash prize if you make it all the way through. So, different things will deduct money from that, supposedly. So nobody's ever won it.
There's, like, a jump scare and I scream, fuck, I lose points.
$500 per curse, supposedly.
I should not even try because I would lose all the money. Nobody has
ever won this money, so I don't even know if the prize is real. And he says that as of late, he's taken away that whole incentive because it apparently brings the crazies. So
okay, man.
McCamey Manor, like I said, it's known to be probably the most extreme haunt style attraction in the U.S. It is technically a nonprofit. Because the entrance fee is a bag of dog food.
I'm sorry. I'm like speechless because that seems like such a...
Oh, it gets weird. Don't worry.
I don't think he's doing what you think with dog food. I think he's just doing that so that...
He supposedly, A, gives it to his dogs and then B, will donate whatever extra to like a local greyhound shelter. I don't know. That's what he says. So yeah, bag of dog food, 50-pound bag of dog food to get in. Originally, he started this whole attraction back when he lived in San Diego, and over the years, San Diego got more expensive. He cited losing his, like, day job and ends up, like, having to move. Along with that, like, he was in a residential area, right? And so if you're having this massively extreme haunt in a residential area and you have people screaming and... whatever other noises come with that. Yeah, tons of complaints and just was not working out. So, 2018, he ends up moving it to two locations. One is in Tennessee, and that's the main one. The other is in Alabama, and that's a little more questionable. I'll get into that in a second. Before he moved there, he considered relocating to a small town in Illinois, but changed his mind after the entire town said, go fuck yourself, do not bring that here.
Oh, well.
So, the Tennessee property is where he does, it's called McCamey Manor. It's like 2 acres, and there's a big barn that he incorporates in there, and a bunch of shipping containers. Like, it's a whole thing, right? So, he sets up this haunt there. After just a few weeks, during his second show in Tennessee, the cops bust into the property after a witness reported seeing a screaming woman being dragged from a vehicle. The woman was part of the, like, she had consented to it. Oh. And so he explains the whole premise of what he's doing there to the cops that got there, and they left without any kind of incident. But now, he has an agreement with the authorities, and whenever he's got a show going on, he calls dispatch, says, hey, just a heads up, if you get any calls of, you know, kidnapping, screaming, murder, anything like that, it is probably just my attraction.
And they say, okay,
thanks, bye.
I'd still send, because that's the perfect cover.
Every week.
For somebody who, like... Mm-hmm. wants to actually murder or abduct somebody. It's like, let's just go over to this area.
Oh, totally. 100%. So just for a little bit of info on his Alabama location, it's supposedly like a different event. Like, it's not quote McCamey Manor. It's not all the same. And there's just not a lot of information about it. So, let's just get into what you would expect to experience if you decided to go to McCamey Manor. Okay. There's a couple ground rules. All participants have to be at least 21. Uh-huh. Or between the ages of 18 and 21, you have to have parental permission, which is weird because 18 is...
an adult.
Yeah. But that's a requirement. You have to complete a physical. Your doctor has to sign off on that. You have to pass a background check, and then you have to be screened via Facebook or FaceTime or phone call, Zoom, whatever. You have to have proof of medical insurance, and you have to pass a drug test. All of this vetting allows Russ to basically personalize the whole experience based on each individual participant's fears.
Honestly, if you go through all that extent for just a haunted house, you could just work in the government. It's the same thing.
It's all the same, right? Participants also, once they get there, they have to read aloud and sign a... sources kind of vary on the number of pages that this waiver is. Some of them say, you know, upwards of 20, ranging all the way up to like a 40-page waiver. So I'm not sure what he's got going on now, but all the sources kind of ranged in between there. So just that portion of it takes like 4 hours for you to sit there and read aloud this waiver, and he video records it the whole time. Not just any legal waiver, obviously. It is packed with various like scenarios that range from pulling out somebody's teeth to shaving their head to having their fingers shoved in mouse traps. And then participants can, from the whole gambit of things that are listed in this waiver, you can choose two of those out of over 100 that you don't want to happen to you.
You only choose two?
Yep. Everything else is fair game. So, for some people, that's when they back out, is in this waiver portion, because they're like, you know, fuck all of this.
Yeah, they're reading through it and they're like, oh God.
Yep. And Russ admits that he gets pretty upset when people pick needles as the thing that they want to avoid. That's like a thing of his that he enjoys.
Ew, I would also choose needles. What the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Uh-huh. Are you stabbing people with needles?
So, the waiver allows the manor employees to physically and mentally torture the participants to their heart's content without any sort of repercussion. According to the people who have signed the waiver or have participated and then gone on to, like, tell various, like, news outlets and things like that, they say that it includes all the damages they could be subjected to, which could be, again, losing a tooth. You can get your nails ripped off. No. You can be drugged.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the options are basically limitless. This waiver is the only thing that saved them from getting in legal trouble, obviously. Despite all of that, some people love to visit the attraction multiple times, while even the neighbors had a hard time being around, like, being in the vicinity. And I mean, Russ lost his wife over it anyways.
Yeah, he seems like a fucking psychopath.
Yeah. So you go through all that and you're like, okay, I'm still gonna participate in this. So the day will begin with you and whatever. You can have up to two people at a time doing it. And you're waiting in the parking lot, and that is when you are mock abducted by Russ and his team.
So he's like involved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Videos show, and you can go to the McKamey Manor YouTube page, and you can see pretty much every single participant and their experience, because he videotapes literally the whole thing and then edits it to however he wants and posts it.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Videos show participants obviously under stress. Many of them are covered in dirt and other things. Insects and snakes are involved. Some people who are scared of drowning end up getting waterboarded. Like, it's a whole thing, right?
Oh, my God.
When it first started, there was not a safe word. And Russ would just decide when to end the whole thing. Often, participants end up throwing up or gagging. Some of them pass out. Most of them will have to straight up beg for the whole thing to end. Now there is technically a safe word, but many have said that it doesn't fucking matter. You can say it as many times as you want and they're not going to stop until they want to. So.
Oh no.
According to a change.org petition with more than 170,000 signatures, McKamey Manor is, quote, a torture chamber under disguise. So there are petitions to get this place shut down. Russ, the petition claims, quote, uses loopholes to get out of being arrested, and one man was tortured so badly he passed out multiple times. Workers only stopped because they thought they literally killed him.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people have gone public with their experiences at McKamey Manor. One pretty infamous one is a woman named Laura Brotherton, and she went to the San Diego Haunted House and claims that that whole thing literally sent her to the hospital. So leading up to the date, she had researched and kind of chatted with Russ and then finally chose a date in October of 2016 to go and experience her haunt, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
And between when she set it up and the actual date, Russ sent her like homework tasks that she had to prove that she did. So these were things like she had to get a onesie to wear for her tour. And she had to videotape herself like buying it and wearing it and whatever. She even had to get a tattoo of McKamey Manor. It said McKamey Manor, the chamber, October 23rd of 2016.
Which was
the day that she went. She's posting all these assignments on Facebook as Russ asked her to. And at the time, she was going through a separation with her husband, and she started talking with another fan on the page. This guy lived on the other side of the country, was kind of experiencing the same like marital issues. They end up kind of, you know, getting into like an online romantic relationship. Yeah. October finally gets there. Laura flies to San Diego, and her husband is with her. Like, they're still going through their issues, but he's like, okay, I don't want you to die here, so I'm going to go with you.
Right.
He goes, and at the morning of her tour, Russ finds out about this online fling that Laura's having with this other fan of the manor. And he outs the private relationship to everyone, including all of their families. So Laura's husband knew about this relationship. The new guy's wife did not know. So this is the morning of the tour.
The new guy's married?
Yeah, new guy's married. He had lied about the whole separation, whatever. And Laura believes that Russ was, like, personally offended by her online relationship. And she says, quote, all he kept saying was, I don't believe in cheaters. And she believes that this is what caused her tour to be, like, exponentially fucked. And hers, unfortunately, didn't end for hours and hours and hours. She says that she was waterboarded. She says she was tased, whipped. She says she still has scars of everything that they did. Oh, shit. And she was repeatedly hit in her face over and over, like, open hand, as hard as a guy could hit a person. And even through all that, she said that she was still so emotionally, like, upset about what had happened right before going on.
Yeah, like, she was
this whole thing
filled with adrenaline.
That she didn't, she didn't even flinch for any of that part. That is until, she was blindfolded with duct tape, submerged underwater by her ankles for so long that her body started to involuntarily thrash. And then they made her dig a shallow hole in a patch of dirt with her bare hands, made her lie in the hole, and then they covered her face with dirt, giving her only a straw to breathe through. And she says that, quote, the dirt started to get into my throat and I started to swallow it.
Oh, my God.
And I'm coughing and I keep saying I need water, and they would just splash water on my face and they wouldn't actually give her any. And that went on for about half an hour. At one point, they start scraping at her McKamey Manor tattoo with a file.
What?
And that's when she says, what the fuck? She says she repeated the safe phrase for several minutes before they finally stopped hurting her. They sprayed her down with a pressure washer, duct tape still over her eyes, and then drove her back to the drop-off location where the, quote, quitters go.
Okay.
So, before she was allowed to leave, she had to record an exit video, which everybody who goes there has to do. And she says, quote, before Russ turned the camera on me, he said, if I do not say good things about McKamey Manor and I start telling what actually happened, he's going to sue me for $50,000. She said, I signed a waiver saying that this could happen, So Russ forced me into saying all these great things.
Oh, my gosh.
And left it at that. She gets dropped off at the drop-off location. She goes back to her hotel room, takes a shower. Adrenaline's, like, wearing off. And she's like, oh, my God, this fuck, everything hurts.
Yeah.
She drove herself to the hospital, took a ton of photos to document all the injuries she got. And, I mean, you can see her at the hospital in a neck brace, and her face is all swollen. She had scrapes on her cheeks, a huge knot on her forehead, lips were red and puffy, and there are small cuts at the corner of her mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
There's also a large wound on her left knee, and she said that that was an old surgery scar that literally opened up after some of the things they did to her. Legs are covered in scratches. There's a big old purple bruise on the top of her left foot. There's some photos of her torso, which show large purple bruises that stretch all the way across her hip and her stomach. Huge issue. And then x-rays showed a hairline fracture in her foot, and the inside of her mouth was so scratched up from the hitting and what they call fish hooking, where they take fingers and literally pull your mouth.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. They like stretch your mouth open?
They stretch your mouth open.
I hate this so much.
Yeah. She refused to tell a hospital staff what happened because she was so afraid that she was going to get sued. And she tried to go to the San Diego police, but they told her she didn't have any kind of criminal case because of the waiver.
Yeah.
So that is like the most documented and like litigious, example of shit that goes down. Other participants described being forced to eat their own vomit after having their faces shoved in rancid water, being locked in coffins with insects and spiders. However, Russ still says, quote, "You'd be surprised over the years how many people have claimed something happened to them inside. He claims that he hypnotizes people to believe these things are actually happening to them. Oh, yeah, and that the they're bruises, not really happening.
Yeah, the bruises are fake.
Yeah.
They he says hitting that, themselves.
Right. He says this is why he tapes every single participant and uploads the videos to YouTube. But then, and he's saying, like, whenever people claim that shit's happening, he's like, oh, here's a video. But they're not raw, unedited clips. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all edited by him, and it's...
We all know how that goes.
Yeah, like, obviously that's pretty misleading, probably. From his perspective, Russ thinks he is simply a good creative director. Claims to tailor each show around everyone's individual fears and insists that countless participants have been fooled into thinking something happened that never actually did.
Oh, my gosh. You know what I would say? I'm terrified of kittens.
I would play that game for sure.
Petrified. They're the worst.
Yep. He has told the insider that he often receives death threats from people who are pissed off about the house, and there are all kinds of lawsuits that are like in progress but probably not gonna go anywhere because of his 40-page waiver.
Definitely. So that is, covers his ass, man.
Yeah, right. That's McKamey Manor.
Here's my thing. The people that are going into this, they're fucking insane, but the people that work there,
it's been said that he hires, you know, felons.
That's what I was going to say. I was just like, these people are violent people. Like, these cannot be good hard work. I mean, everyone's a hard worker at something, right? But I mean, like, they can't be, like, productive members of society if they want to just beat people up and torture them.
Yep.
Ew.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's repulsive. McKamey
Manor. I got most of my info, a little bit from Wikipedia. There's not much there. Monstersandcritics.com, allthat'sinteresting.com, just like you. And then the change.org site and the petition there. So that's that.
Something crazy. The whole time you were reading that, I was like, this sounds exactly like a book that I've read.
Ooh.
Yes, and I found it. And the book's called Reprieve. It's by James Han Matson. It's literally the same fucking thing, except for it's like an escape room.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
when
like,
was it written?
Let me see. 2021. So it was published in 2021.
It's probably about this.
I know. I was trying to look and see what the inspiration was, but it basically is if like these people can make it all the way through, they get $60,000.
Yep.
And like they can touch you, they can fuck with you, they can torture you, they can hit you. Like it's mm-hmm. literally the manor. Except for something very tragic does actually happen at it.
One guy reportedly has had a heart attack from this. Nobody has supposedly died.
Supposedly.
But, I mean, what kind of records are you keeping? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah. The reviews on Goodreads are very mixed. Like, it's got 3.43 out of 5 stars. I thought it was very good. I didn't go into it thinking it was going to terrify the shit out of me, because books rarely do. But a lot of people were disappointed that it wasn't scary. I think it's more psychological.
Yeah, like, what kind of scary? Yeah. Like, this isn't really a haunt. It's no. definitely
and
a
psych.
And he has
to tell, like, a story, too. So it's, like, going back and forth yeah. between what's going on in the escape room and the development of the character. So, like, yeah. it's a duo timeline that's going on, which mm-hmm. I really like those kinds of books.
Yep.
And it talks a lot about, like, capitalism, racism, like, fear, entertainment. It tackles a lot of, like, social
yeah.
Problems. And I think maybe people just don't like reading about that. I thought it was great. I would recommend it, but it is literally everything that you just said.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
Watch
crazy.
Russell probably sue him.
I know, right? I'm surprised he hasn't already.
Yeah,
but like it's called reprieve because that's the safe word, is reprieve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then when you said the safe word, I was like, holy shit, this is literally the same fucking thing.
What I think is I think Russ is capitalizing on the fact that certain people like torture porn and like get off on that shit.
Yeah, I think Saw really brought that to light.
Dude, I don't know if he's doing this as like a non-profit, but then he's got two properties that are running this, and it's a massive, like, that has to be super expensive, everything that he's doing, right? I'll bet you anything he's taking those videos, selling them for right. high dollar,
like recording what's going on in the house.
He records everything. He records all of it, every single one, and he'll clip together whatever he wants and put that on YouTube. But
I
bet you he's doing like has like a master clip of the whole thing, and he's selling that shit to high paying dudes
or
with
like,
that weird torture porn fetish.
Somehow streaming it live on whatever weird fucking dark web bullshit.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. There's one lady who only lasted 30 seconds because right when it started, she gets body slammed and passes out, and they couldn't get her to wake up for a while, so they're like, ah, okay, you're done.
They body slammed her immediately?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yep. And then the longest lasting was like 6 hours or something. So
that's
the Kamey Manor. We're never fucking doing anything like that.
No.
But I definitely imagine that cannot last all that long. There's going to be something that happens.
Yeah, I don't
know. That
gets
it shut down.
I mean, murder.
Yes.
You can't have a waiver for murder.
Yeah.
Like, the waiver doesn't cover, like, if we punch you hard enough and you die because you have a brain bleed.
Exactly. Like, that is negligence at best.
Either way, it's enough to shut them down.
Yeah.
I hope.
You got anything else?
No, I fucking hate this.
Okay. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. We made you really sad. And then, like, disturbed.
Right.
That's so fucking gross.
I know. Well, you can find us on Instagram at Who Knew Podcast. And then from there, there's a link tree that goes to like our Patreon and all that. And then if you want to get a hold of us outside of that, just find us on Gmail. Nope, don't find us on Gmail. That's not a social media thing. You can email us at whonewpodcast666 at gmail.com.
LOL.
Oh, good shit. All right.
So good. I'm going to go take a nap.
Okay, bye.
Bye.